Blog Talk Radio.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life when you come to my rescue a thousand times? Every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you. And test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides.
Yeah.
It's hard to say when there's no food to eat. Or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Welcome this morning to the provision of a mighty God who has gone through his garden. He is pruning, he is watering, he is cleansing, and he is preparing us to produce the fruit that is evident of his presence in our life. So we have no need to strive, to struggle, to try to be something. All we have to do is to look, to learn, and to allow the work of the gardener to provide for us. Good morning. Good morning. This is Words from the Word. I thank you for joining our Friday Fellowship of Learners. Good morning. Good morning to everyone. God provided. God provides our abiding in Christ power. That is the message that he is sending us today in our Unit 14. Day by day, God provides. He said, tonight. And tonight starts the day for the Jewish calendar and measurement of time. It starts from sunset to sunset. So when she says, close your eyes tonight and don't strive, don't cry. Often we cry, maybe not tears, but moans, and we cry unto the Lord. Well, he hears us. He knows he is ever so near to us. For he says in last week's lesson that moment by moment, he is there. He is there where we need him. And it said in Isaiah 27, 2 and 3, in that day sing unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You're joining us as we go through Abide in Christ by Andrew Murray. And we are on day 14. Welcome everybody on the line. We praise God for you. And we ask, so what is your testimony of God will provide day by day, moment by moment? As you read the presentation for this unit of unto today, what is it? It uses a frame of speaking, a phrase that we're not often used to, the day's portion in its day, the day's portion in its day. You're all connected to the session. You take the phones off you and dialogue with us this morning, day by day. Good morning. Good morning. We do ask that sometimes if you're not going to dialogue, if you put your phone on mute, and that way we don't pick up a lot of background sounds in our session time. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Charlotte.
Amen.
Good morning, Elder. Good morning,
Amen. What you said. I think somebody else is talking. Is that Elder Deborah?
No, that was Evangelist Kennedy, but go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead.
When Overseer said the statement, one of the parts of my day is I have to constantly seek God to bring my flesh under subjection, because with a seven-year-old, and sometimes the day can get tumultuous, and I look and say, oh, I forgot to stop for my prayer time. Oh, I forgot to do this. And I find myself having to set alarms like most people set alarms to wake up in the morning. Alarms don't wake me up in the morning. God wakes me up in the morning. But as far as my meditation and my quiet time, I need an alarm so I don't overlook and get caught in the hustle bustle of the day. But I want to give God his due time and due season in my life all the time.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Elder? Roberta?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I wasn't sure what the question was.
Oh, wait,
did you ask
the
question?
We were just responding to the morning worship song of God Provides, and how day by day, as our lesson brings forth, that we gather the portion that's just for today. And so asking those that have gone through the lesson and you've looked at it, what did you glean from that? What blessed you? What brought to the forefront a new focus for our going forth day by day?
Well, when I was reading it, I found this chapter a little difficult. But
yes,
I read it a couple of times, and then I looked at the scripture where the daily portion. So I think I always kind of operate in that day by day. I try not to look ahead because I always think that tomorrow is not promised, so let me focus on today. The reading, I kind of agree with the writer about if God hadn't broken up the day with night, we wouldn't have been able to endure, because I agree that we need a break in the day and the night in order, you know, in order for him to strengthen us for the next, how can I phrase it? Well, for the next phase of our life, or the next phase of our test, or the next phase of our whatever he's going to allow us to encounter. The night gives us an opportunity to rest from what we have encountered during the day. And it gives us an opportunity to reflect on how we addressed it. Did we address it in our own strength, or did we address it in the strength that he gives us, in the manner that he would have us to address it? So I find this particular chapter to be a little challenging. I have to keep reading it, some of it over and over, to glean what the author is trying to get us to see about the day by day.
Amen. 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 Did anyone else find this chapter, this unit, a little challenging? Yes.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning. Yes. this chapter was challenging but it was more to me clarity. And it brought me even to the prayer. The Lord is our Father which art in heaven. And even in that, it said, give us this day our daily bread. And when I was reading this chapter, as Elder Roberta was stating, it reminded me so clearly, and it was like confirmation from God that I just needed to not worry about everything in life, but just focus on day by day what he's doing, and accept his day by day. I think a lot of time, and I'm only speaking for myself, you get caught up in the day-to-day things you have to do, your health, your activities, your, you know, working or moving around, challenges that come. But if you just take it day by day, it will, you can keep your focus. If, as long as you keep focus on God and dwell in Him, your day get better. And you can't look at the whole picture, because when you look at the whole picture, it's too much. So when Elder Roberta was saying it was challenging, it was challenging to my opinion, because I was trying to put too much in the day or do too much or think about what's going to happen the rest of the week or the rest of the month. And it was only I needed to just focus right now on this day and just day by day, moment by moment, not the whole picture. And then everything will be okay.
Amen.
I agree.
Amen.
Yes, I agree with that, Sister Pat. It is wonderful that you say it, because I think naturally so that we can easily, even though with the song we know God provides and abide in Him, but we have a tendency to look at that calendar has what, 31 days on it. And even though we're looking at that one day, but yet and still we have a tendency, I have a tendency to try to fill up that whole day from sun early rise till sunset, and you know, not just taking it as day by day, but then going and taking upon myself, okay, well, I know I'm not going to complete this, I'll spill it over to the next day. I take it upon myself to put stuff over in the next day. And as Sister Roberta said, even though tomorrow is not promised to us, yet and still we have a tendency to just let stuff spill over, you know, into the next day. Yeah. Yeah, it has been interesting. That's all I can say.
Amen, amen. Anybody else?
Elder Deborah, what's your take?
I'm being drafted. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wasn't saying anything, because actually I felt differently when I read this. I was kind of relieved when I read this. I was like, okay, gosh, give my brain a break. Because I find that some of the other ones to me have just been so intense emotionally and spiritually that when I got to this one, I was like, okay, at least day by day, get away from the moment by moment. I don't mean it like that, but you understand what I mean. That
it seems
to be a more relaxed message for me. And so some of the things that kind of jumped out, like, well, initially when he uses the example of someone being injured and asking the doctor, how long will I have to lie here? And they said, just one day at a time. And I can certainly understand that, and understand when you find yourself in a situation where you know you don't have the physical control or personal control to really do anything other than whatever happens in that moment. That just like you give a child a calendar and say, you know, school will be out on Tuesday for Chicago Public Schools, and when you're there and you just, I can remember just crossing the days off, and when it gets a couple paragraphs into it, he says something to the effect of, I'm trying to find it. It's like I've mocked up the book so much I can't find what I wrote. I got more notes than he has words. Where it says that the believers, you would abide in Jesus, let it be day by day. You've already heard the message moment by moment. The lesson of day by day has something more to teach. And it talks about how we do it day by day, and it is the distinct renewal of surrender and trust for our life moment by moment. But then it is God who bundles those moments, who allows us to have the glorious privilege to be able to look forward to the next morning, or to look back and reflect on that in the evening. Because prior to that, he says, his presence and grace enjoy today will remove all doubt whether you can entrust your tomorrow to him. And I just thought that was really awesome that, you know, if we look at it day by day, and when we awake the next morning, you know, with the breath of God in us, hopefully if that is his will, then, you know, it's like, okay, God, you know, another day, you know, I've done it through you, you know. And I'm not sure, I think it was Evangelist Margaret who just said that sometimes it can seem overwhelming when we look at it, you know, in the aggregate, when we look at, you know, what we have to do this week, this month, this year, those kinds of things, that when we break it up into the daily portions, it makes it much easier. And then the last thing I want to say on this is that there was a place, and I don't even know where it is in here. I'm trying to glance through as I talk, but I don't really see it. But because we've all read it, but where it kind of talked about the whole idea of starting each day. And I was really convicted with that because I know at one point that was, here it is. It says, the morning manna fed all day. It is only when the believer in the morning secures his quiet time in secret to renew distinctively and effectually loving fellowship with the Savior that the abiding can be kept up all the day. That, to me, was probably the most profound part on that. Because I have experienced that when I have quiet time in the morning, it does shape the entire day. And no matter if it's noonday or no matter if it's evening prayer, when I switch that over, there is a distinct lacking in my sure-footedness for the day. There is something about awaking early. You know, when the scripture talks, early will I seek him. There has just been something about it, that being the first thing that we do to get up and have commune and fellowship. But I certainly don't do it every day, and I need to do it more. And I was really convicted when I read that because I have had the experience of that. And I just think that it was just really powerful, and it just reminded me that, you know, however we start our day, and when you read things that great thinkers and great leaders, and obviously there's no one above the Lord. So I'm not trying to lump people in the category with God. But when you look at those kinds of things, and just randomly, I was looking at something, and it was showing that, I want to say it was Benjamin Franklin, in his daily log would note everything every day. I mean, as mundane as get up, wash, you know, eat, you know, prepare, blah, 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 blah. And every day he did this just to have a structure to the day. And I find that just helpful that, you know, if we structure our day the way the Lord intends, which is rising early to seek him and have fellowship with him, then we can be assured because we are abiding moment by moment, and he gives us day by day, that our days will be better and more blessed and more fulfilling in the things that we need to do to glorify him and to, you know, to serve his people. So I enjoyed it. It was just a reminder, like, hey, you know, get back on the wall, do what you need to do, and God's got it. That, you know, the moment by moment, that when we really do the moment by moment, then we can get into a flow, that it's not, it's almost like, you know, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we're praying, literally moving our mouths in prayer every day, but the state of being active in prayer, the state of being conscious of the things and the people around us and the state of affairs around us and being ever mindful so we are in a prayerful state. To me, it's kind of like this whole abiding day by day. When we start our day off, then we already have that covering, and we can just move in that flow in a much more effortless way, so to speak.
You know,
amen.
I go this way with it. When I wake up in the morning, let my babies out. My closet is my front porch. I go. reason why I go out there, because I know tomorrow is not promised to me. God did not promise us tomorrow. And it when I know that he didn't promise me, I look at the grace and things that he have gave me to get to the Saturday, because he did not say I was going to be living Saturday. He did not promise me that. And when I look out there and look at the lights good and things, I say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And this is the day, the only day I have, and it's the most beautiful day, and I'm so happy in it, and I'm not going to let anybody ruin this day, because this is the only day I got grace and mercy, and thank you, Jesus, because tomorrow is my promise. It's no sense to me even worried about tomorrow. I got today.
Amen.
Minister Paulette, I was looking at it with a writer, also where the writer said, one day lost influences the next and makes its keeping more difficult. Yes, one day lost may be the loss of what months or years of careful labor had secured. And that took my mind back to a fall from grace. And so that even made me more conscious of what my day encounters, more conscious of my walk with him, more conscious of me having a listening ear, more conscious of not wanting to allow anything to distract me or cause me to step back in, you know, backwards. And it says, he said, as we look forward in the morning or look back in the evening and weigh the moment, we learn how to value and how to use them rightly. So, you know, it just causes you to just value each day more when you look at the grace, his grace, in allowing you to even regain, you know, right fellowship with him, because, you know, in my stepping away, you know, he could have just let me leave life in the state that I was, but his grace. Mm. So that, you know, that took me there, you know, his grace. Toward me. And so the writer, when he said, let each day have its value from your calling to abide in Christ, in the morning, thanksgiving. This is the day that the Father has given. In it, I must become more closely united to Jesus. And he said, can you trust me just for this?
Yes.
One day to keep you abiding in Jesus.
Yes.
And to keep you fruitful.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You cannot help but give the joyful response. I will trust.
Yes. Hallelujah. I am so encouraged by our sharing, because as the author puts it forth, we have digested it to nourish where we are and where we are in him. And as Elder just shared, it is such a sweet encouragement to my soul that a God to whom a day is a thousand, this is a thousand years to him, a thousand years, it's one day to him, but he attained to me, knowing that that was too overwhelming for me to handle, so he brought his interaction with me to my level so that he'd give me little bits, just one day at a time. So he took his greatness and combined it into 24 hours when it could span a thousand years, but just so that I can ingest it, digest it, and be nourished by it. He did that for me. And then he didn't do it in such a way, you know, how you can have an automatic call back or whatever. No, this ain't automatic. Every day I'm going to come to you with this to nourish you. That's what that manna was. It was reminding the children of Israel, every day I am concerned about you and what you have. So therefore, every day when you wake up, the author says here that it would have exhausted and overwhelmed us. Okay? It says the change from day to night continually recruits and recreates his power in us. So we even have to have the rest to digest. We need to go to sleep. And so that we can just, like, infuse all that he's given us into every fabric of our being, because it is such a powerful love and relationship. And so he's saying, day by day, every day, I want you to be aware of how I planned for you. So that's why my mercies are new. I know just what you're going to need today. And it says, he keeps saying that today's portion for today. One of the things about the manna is they gathered more than they needed, and manna was just representing for us. It was food for them. It was food for us. Manna represents strength and spiritual nourishment. And so he's like, I'm going to feed you every day. You don't have to worry about learning every word in my Bible right now, because you can't. But every day I'm just feed it to you. Every day I'm going to be here. I'm going to prepare it for you. I'm just feed it to you. First, I'm going to prepare. He says, recruit. He said, I know your future. I know what today holds. I'm going to recruit my resources for you so that I'll place them here for the day. Just like we set our kids' clothes out and we get a mind, you're going to have this for breakfast and that and that and that. That's what God does for us every day. And now remember, they have a thousand years to him. But he regards us so much and so understands our limitations, so understands our weaknesses and our frailty. He so understands them that he customizes his interaction with us based on us. And so he says, moment by moment, he cares for us to make sure nothing will harm us. But day by day, he addresses us. He comes through. You know, he breathes and touches on his branches in his vineyard, and he caresses them. He provides the mist to moisturize their dry, barren spirit when it's dark. He provides the light and the heat and the warmth to provide for us what we need. And so it's such an intimate, personal expression of what this journey is supposed to look like and how committed he is to every single day. First, every moment by moment, but he understands that's even too much for you to understand. But to know every day by day, one of the scriptures that I looked at that kind of reference that it says, so we don't have to lose heart, because though your outer self is wasting away, you know, your inner self is being renewed day by day, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, because this is proclaiming and presenting how great a faithfulness he has towards us. And so that's why that song so touched me. It's like God is going to provide this. And, you know, I don't have to strive. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to go somewhere and get fun. God is going to rain it down on me. He's going to bring it down. He's going to smile it down upon me. He's doing this stuff. He's in charge. He has committed. This is his. This is his rodeo. This is his. And we want to interpret it sometimes based on what the world has said we need to be doing. And he's saying, let me readjust your thinking. Let me help you grow, as Bishop would tell us. Let me help you grow. This is how I intend for this to go. This is how this is supposed to look. Accustom yourself, you know, to look upon me. You know, I am the reason for your appointment for the day and the night. God thought of our weakness and sought to provide for it. Each one of us are so valued by him, and we have to value the calling that we received when Christ said, come and abide in me. And really take that today's portion for the day. Just like someone shared as it related to the Lord's Prayer. So when the disciples asked, well, you know, what are we supposed to pray? He brought this forward to them. You need to pray, give me this day my daily bread, because it will help you to know that God is so near to you. You know, the person that feeds you is not afar from you. The person that feeds you, that gives you your daily bread, is the one that has planned for you, who's prepared for you, who knows you, so they know what you can eat. You know, they know how you need to eat it. And he's giving it to you, just like he did with this manna, with the children of Israel. I mean, they didn't have to labor for it. They didn't have to till the ground. They didn't have to water a plant. They didn't have to pluck a tree. They didn't have to kill a cow. All he had to do was get up, and it's there. Just gather it, okay? But gather it according to the needs of your household, because if they gathered too much, it would get worms in it. And that's something else sometimes that we have to look at. Sometimes when we see this worldly, and I say the worldly, meaning religious knowledge, you know, and I'm not saying getting an understanding out of the Word of God, but sometimes we go knowledge here, there. Some of it will get wormy. It'll start eating holes through the stuff that we have, through our own mind, because as he's saying, he knows. We don't take so much at a time. So we have to be true to the house that we're planted in. That's where we nourish. That's where we flourish. That's where we go, because he has placed their pastors after his own heart. So that means they understand what we need. So they feed us what we need to eat. And so one of the other instances that he did as it relates to the manna, I love some of the definitions or facts about manna, and they saying that the name came from the fact that when the Israelites saw it, you know, they asked each other, what is this? And so it became the name manna means like what? With a question mark, like what? You know, and so often kids have a saying now, what are these? What are those? You know, it's what are these? Those are blessings from the Lord God Almighty. What is it? Define it for me today. You know, make it live. Make me search and seek it, because I'm inquiring after it. And that's what the abide is. It is seeking, you know, with that patient expectancy to see God, to see him as my soul wait thou upon the Lord. You know, for my expectations is from him. I'm expecting and looking around to see where is he? Where is he and how is he manifesting himself to me today? Gather it, and that's embracing the ministry of Holy Spirit, because he's the one that will reveal it to us, and then embracing Holy Spirit, and then enjoying what Holy Spirit is imparting into us from heaven, that spiritual nourishment, that manna, that personalized daily bread. And I love it because it's daily, and so often, you know, when you look around, even if you go in a bookstore or wherever, you will see all of these, the daily word, the living word, you know, daily devotionals. What we're reading actually is a daily devotional. We're just doing it weekly speaking. And so you have all of so that concept and that pattern has been acknowledged by those that have journeyed and are journeying in this pilgrimage, that it is a daily thing. And daily you get a word. Daily you have a scripture. There is a daily verse for the day, I think, on one of the Bible apps. And everything is a daily thing. It's that manna. Gather it unto ourselves and let it nourish and flourish, nourish us and cause us. Then, through that nourishment, what it will produce will be the fruit that is evident that it is God that is nourishing me. My nourishment is coming from him. Therefore, the fruit that comes forth from my life looks like him. And it looks like peace, and it looks like joy and love. It looks like long suffering. It looks like temperance and meekness and faith. It doesn't look like grumbling and complaining. It doesn't look like impatience or selfishness. It doesn't look like worry and frustration. It doesn't look like error and ignorance. It's all of these things. That's what's nourishing us, is what will produce in us those fruits, which is what he will look for. Because it says, but the fruit, it says what the fruit of the Spirit is, but this fruit of the Spirit comes only out of this relationship that we have with Jesus, that we are to abide in. And it is not brought about by our own strength, nor by the works of our flesh, what I'm doing today, what I got to do, what I'm assigned to do, only by abiding in Christ. As it brings forth in Matthew 7, 19th and 20th verse. And so it's not that we don't do something, because our faith automatically produces work, but it is work that is guided and instructed by Holy Spirit. And so I think author, yes, yes.
No, go ahead. I just want to say something when you said
no, go ahead. No, right here. Go ahead.
No, yeah. When you were talking about gathering the manna, that we had, that we don't have to do anything, you know, that we don't do it in our strength, that it is the Lord that does it for us. There is one portion here, and I think that Evangelist or Elder Roberta alluded to this, where it says that we are so easily led to look at life as a great whole and to neglect the little today. To forget that the single days do indeed make up the whole, and that the value of each single day depends on its influence on the whole. One day lost is a link broken in the chain, which often takes more than another day to mend. One day lost influences the next and makes its keeping more difficult. Yea, one day lost may be the loss of what months or years of careful labor have secured. The experience of many a believer would confirm this. And it made me think about when you hear interviews with great athletes, and they talk about, you know, I practice every day. I shoot 300 free throws every morning. And it's like, well, you're the greatest. And it's like, yeah, because at some point, and one of the things they call it the law of diminished returns, at some point you get to a threshold so we can all build up to one thing. But it is those folks that press forward. I mean, and to me, a colloquialism would be, you know, when people say, you don't know what it took for me to get here. You don't know how much time I spent. You don't know what I had to get through to get to this pinnacle. And I'm meaning this as from the outside, looking in at people or great leaders or people of incredible prayer power and those kinds of things. And when you hear them or you read their accounts, you know, most of them will talk about a diligence and a discipline, which is just discipleship, of where if there was nothing else they did, you know, they were on their knees every day. I was reading something where the guy was saying, or it was actually a woman, where she was saying that there is something that happens in the posture of kneeling that doesn't happen like that in anything else. And I would assume the same thing when you lie prostrate, that certain things you can only get if you do it a certain way. Not that you can't get it, but there is something that God gives. There is something. There is something extra that happens when we move into a different place, like from glory to glory, you know, from faith to faith. That something happens in us when we understand and we lower ourselves, you know, and lay prostrate or come on our knees. It doesn't happen when we're standing in the presence of God. Not that God doesn't hear us. And not that we're not being, you know, earnest and genuine and transparent, but when we allow ourselves, when we allow the unconscious pride of who we are to say, oh, God, I can't even stand in your presence. That song, I Can Only Imagine. And, you know, it talks about, you know, will I dance in your presence? Will I sing? Will I be able to even speak at all? I can only imagine, you know, so when we look at it to me, or what was to say we, when I look at this and when I go through and I read it, like I said to me, it was a reprieve because I felt that the past 13 days, each day was just so incredibly, and it's not burdensome. It was just that it was just so much. It just seemed like just, even in reading through that word by word, sentence by sentence, that when I get to the day by day, I'm like, Lord, thank you. Just let me do it in day by day bites. Because the second by second, the moment by moment, the word by word, it just seemed like just even to think about that, my little pea brain was just overwhelmed. So, you know, when I came to this, and even when you said day 14, I'm looking at the book, I'm like, no, it's not day 14, it's day 13. Because I hadn't written any notes on the first page. And then it was like, oh, okay, yeah, I did read. These are my notes on here. And I had just read it again this morning. It was just, I was just thinking it was 13. But just the whole idea, you know, it is just comforting in knowing that I don't have to be so preoccupied with my moment by moment, my second by second, that God knows that I'm flawed and fragile and feeble. So, to me, this day by day just kind of gave me a moment to exhale and say, okay, God, I know I need to commune with you and fellowship with you continuously, but thank you for giving me the structure that, you know, if I can just get to my day by day thing, you know, I might be somewhere on the path that you're laid out for us, required for us to go. But it has been. This was as well, like the other ones, a blessing to know that, you know, His grace is sufficient for us, and you know that there are new mercies every day.
Yeah.
You know that He never changes, and that there is no turning in Him. But what does happen continually and faithfully is that His mercies toward us are new every morning because every day, you know, we need to be covered by the blood. We need God's grace and mercy to just to take that first step, you know, just even in a good morning, Lord, you know, because usually before I get to my good morning, Lord, something has crossed my mind, even if I don't consciously remember it, but just things, you know, just just the care, you know, just whatever. So, you know, once again, thank you, Overseer, for bringing this to us and allowing us to share and you know, for you being responsible for this. It is truly a blessing, you know.
You know, and I praise God for you all because it's the fellowship that makes it work. And not just only makes it work, I think for me, and I know that we all hear the perspective. I am so, so blessed by the Synoptic Gospel study because as it presented the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and how they presented the teaching so differently, but it was because of who they were and who they were to speak to. And so when we have this fellowship, I'm reminded of our differences that God is using as he brings us into oneness because we're not all the same. We don't all learn the same. We don't all see things the same way, and we don't have to, and it's okay because we all see him, and we're all being led by him. So I'm listening to everybody, and I'll make a confession to the Friday Fellowship. I've never been a morning person. I never have been. But I've always been a night person. And so I found great comfort, and I'll be honest, and I'll tell the whole story. But I found great comfort in understanding that the Jewish day starts at night. And that's really when the day starts, even under the Roman calendar, the time, it starts at 12 midnight. Six if it's 6 in the evening. And so I found comfort in that. Well, hold on. Because that's when I go, you know. That's when I fellowship. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't miss the whole day. And, you know, the day is over. And it's like, but God, that's when you lead me. You know, and I just have to believe because you made me this way. And, you know, am I being so rebellious? You know, whatever. So I was reminded of some things. And God will, he'll bring you to a good place. And so, you know, we do examine ourselves. I examine myself. I said, well, Lord, you know, I'm just going to wake up in the morning. Well, that's a joke, okay? Okay. Because if he doesn't wake us up, we're not getting up, okay? You can sign your alarm. But I don't even have an alarm clock. But and that's good. And I think that's wonderful because that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, when he wants me to wake up, ain't no sleeping happening, okay? And whatever needs to happen in the early morning, in the dark, it does happen. But my fellowship time comes with him in the evening. And what I've found is that for me, and this is just for me, when I wake up, I'm awakened with a song that has something to do with me. And so I just believe that as we fellowship and he, you know, gave me my rest, he poured in himself while I was resting. And so what it does is it pushes everything away. And then he showed me the scripture, and it's late at night, I will lay down and sleep because thou and thou alone keeps me safe. And my rest is so peaceful through him, because of him, because he does. He's watching over me. And, you know, we've had this fellowship, and it's just like the last thing you may see, or sometimes the last song you hear just gets stuck in your head and you can't get it out. But so it's showing us how there are variety of gifts, but there is one spirit. And the joy of it all in the center is Jesus Christ. And
Overseer, can I stick one thing in there?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not really necessarily about this lesson, but I think it was last week's lesson. Mm-hmm. But when you just said that, that I didn't mention it on the call, but I remember as I was reading through the different translations, and I think it was last week's lesson, may not, but it doesn't really matter. But there were two translations, and I want to say one was the Message, and I don't remember what the other was,
okay.
that it jumped out at me where they said day and evening. And that resonated in my spirit because I'm like, that's not right. It's always the evening and the day, you know, in creation. So I'm just saying that as we read scripture, stuff that we know, when we read these different translations and things like that, don't let that pass by. You know, I mean, a commentary is just somebody's comment on whatever the word says. So you can write your own commentary, you know, theoretically, and so could I. But I was just reminded of that when you said that the scripture always says the evening and the morning was like the first day. And there were two distinct translations that flipped that around. And to me, that is, you know, it's like you don't change, you know, not a jot or a tittle. You know, so that just made me leery, just even of the translation, you know, it made me now, okay, now I got to really look at some of those things. You really have to be guarded. You know, I'm like, read them all, listen to them all, and look at what changes one by one, because sometimes there'll be something very distinct that's left out that can change the entire bent of what the verse is saying. And that's a whole nother aside, but when you said that, it just came up in my spirit that last week I remember that two of them said, and the morning and the evening was the first day, and I'm like, that is not what the Lord said. So that's just an aside.
Amen. And I love it because that's the job of Holy Spirit. And he's going to do his job. As long as we study, he'll bring it back to us. I don't care what man tries to do to it. I don't care what the versions that they come up with. Holy Spirit, that's his job. I just love it. That's why we have to enjoy. We have to love the ministry of Holy Spirit. You know, we talked about some things, and I won't get off subject on that. But I do. I love the way we need to expose ourselves to all of the gospel. And we need to not limit our understanding of what other people do, and judge it based on what God has us doing. Now, we definitely, he is the standard. Please don't think I'm saying he isn't. He is. But he directs us based on, that's just like if Matthew was to tell John what you wrote wasn't a gospel, because that's not how it happened. Or Luke tell, who's the Matthew? Mark, no, Peter told you wrong, it didn't happen. No, it did happen that way. But this is what I saw, and this is what I am including in. Now, there may be some things you left out because God didn't need the Jewish people to, he knew they knew that already, so you didn't have to tell that to them. So there's so much that opens us up to this, even, you know, this global, this ecumenical, this whole move. This is a world, this is a kingdom. You know, he's just breaking the doors and the windows, and we busting out. Because that's where the church is out. It is more than just four walls. So it includes so much. And he gives us a mind that's opening up so that we can open us up so that we can embrace all that he's giving us. This new wine and just the clarity of some of the wonderful vintage foundational wines that we have been nurtured by through the years. And so I get so excited about it. And I do, and like I said, there are times when we, you know, you may find your greatest time, you know, is in the morning, and so many people do, and that's good. That's but there's 12 prayer watches, or 8, I'm the Lord have mercy. There's 8 prayer watches. And so all of them have benefits. And what is important is that we are focused on the Lord. Because you know what? Some people work night. In fact, now to think about it, I work night. That's where my working life started, was a third shift. So there's so many things that influence how we go forth in the Lord, but we should always make sure and maintain that we're in the vine, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is flowing and communicating from the vine to us, and that the Heavenly Father is tending to us moment by moment. So nothing's going to get past him. But whatever needs correcting, God will send that information through. And then, you know what, when it needs correcting, think of the hierarchy in heaven. Christ says, oh, no, you know, I'm going to intercede for them right now on that spot. And then when Christ says that, Holy Spirit say, I got you, I will go, and I'll bring the knowledge, I'll bring the teaching, I'll bring the correction, and, you know, and I'll guide them into the truth. And so that's how that's flowing. And it's such a wonderful, process, and, or not even a process, but relationship that we are involved in, or that we have been invited into. And so we do. We praise the Lord. Any more questions, comments, inserts, revelations?
I'd just like to say over here, thank you for the personal sharing. This is Margaret, and you know how I feel about that early morning, and you know I'm learning, and I thank God for it.
Amen.
Oh, we see, I wanted to say, look how God works. You got a morning show.
Amen. You know what?
The Midnight Rambler has a morning show. That's awesome.
And
you know what? And my first thought was, yes, ma'am, evangelist.
Ma'am?
Yes, you.
Oh, I think we all fix our certain time that we can share with God. I taste that 1 or 2 o'clock. Nice and quiet, and I don't have nothing to do and nobody to bother me but me and him. I think we all do. We work in the can on things. We pick our own time spend with God, and I think that's beautiful.
Amen.
And as the saying goes, won't he do it? Amen.
Amen. And you know when he do it, you know it's him, because it's not me. Amen. I can tell people my eyes don't even work good till like 10, 11 o'clock. But you know what I do? I say and I praise God because you know it is His will. It is. Hallelujah, Jesus. And He knows. He knows.
Yeah.
You know, and he loves, you know what, I won't say he got jokes, but, you know, he has humor. He does have humor. Because he said he'll laugh at something, okay? But I appreciate his grace. And this sharing, this Friday fellowship of learners is phenomenal blessing for my life. It truly has blessed my life. I thank you all. I do.
Thank you. And overseas, this morning, we thank God for you. We truly thank God for you. And this morning, after I had read the chapter again, I saw the song prior to you doing God Provide, which was the right one for today. But I thought about when we were growing up in the ATOP, AME, the Methodist Church, they used to have a song that said, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that little verse here that it said, One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way. One day at a time. And that song just, oh my God, it just was everything I needed for the moment. So I just thank God. And God Provide, the song you played this morning was just right on time. So thank God for what He gives you.
Amen. And He truly does it too, and that's for sure. Amen. All right, so I do encourage you to obey, embrace, and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit and worship our God. worthy is the Lord, worthy is the Lamb, and we thank him for abiding. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Enjoy your day and enjoy your worship. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right.